Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
All right, back at it with our guy Shefty, ESPN senior NFL insider. He's Adam Schefter. He's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. Shefty, good afternoon, bud.
Anthony, Bobby, how are we doing?
We're doing pretty well. Joey Bosa's doing really well. And, you know, we start talking about contracts and numbers, Shefty, with you, and I think it just bounces right off of us now. We're not really that affected by it anymore. But when you see a defensive player, a non-quarterback making $27 million a year, now 40 sacks in four seasons, unbelievable. I think we can all, when we dive into what his game is, we can really get to the point where we can say that Joey Bosa impacts a football game very similar to, on defense, the way a quarterback would impact it on offense. So 27 mil a year, so almost 1.7 million per game. How does that stack up for you? Is this going to keep building for great defensive players, or do you think this ever hits a plateau?
Well, a few thoughts. First of all, that shows you the value of an Ohio State education right there.
No doubt.
I'm trying to find that value, Adam.
Yeah. And you look at what Ohio State has put out. You got Joey Bosa, 5 years, $125 million. Michael Thomas, 5 years, $96.25 million. Zeke Elliott, 6 years, $90 million. I mean, the endowment at Ohio State, there's no reason it shouldn't be huge this year. These players could be donating enough money to offset any tuition increases for the coming season. And Ohio State has produced its fair share of talent. Joey Bosa is now one of the 12 highest paid players in all of football. He's making quarterback money. The only players in the league making more than him are quarterbacks, 11 other quarterbacks. But he is the 12th. He is right there. And it's a huge deal. It's the richest defensive deal in NFL history. And I think one of the reasons the Chargers could do this is that basically you have a situation where they don't have to pay a quarterback, so they've got a rookie quarterback. And it's a situation where they could take that money and now pay Joey Bosa.
Adam, it was almost stunning when I saw that deal come out, because they started rumblings of whether or not Joey would hold out. And, you know, as you know, it's incredibly punitive now to hold out if you're under contract under this new CBA. And I was like, wow, you know, him holding out, that doesn't really make sense with how expensive it would be. But you remember how contentious it was during the negotiation of his rookie contract. Were you surprised at all that this seemed to go so smoothly that it was completely under the radar?
Well, I think it was going on behind the scenes. I think there had been talks. And I think I know this, that the Chargers have been gearing up and waiting for this the entire time. And I think one of the reasons that you make the moves at quarterbacks and draft a rookie quarterback and don't do a long-term deal for Hunter Henry is because during a pandemic, you could only allocate your resources to so many places. And they wanted to get Joey Bosa signed to a long-term deal, and they did get Joey Bosa signed to a long-term deal, a record deal. And so when you know this is coming, you're gearing up for it. There are little quiet conversations going on behind the scenes. Like, I don't think he just showed up there yesterday, and they said, oh, let's do a deal last night. And then, bam, there's a five-year, $135 million extension. That's not how it happens. There's a lot of little conversations that go on. But, again, it's not documented, and maybe that's because the Chargers are not documented the same way that the Jets or Giants are, or the Cleveland Browns are, or the New England Patriots are, right? There might not be as much attention on the Chargers as some of these teams in markets that are really intent about their team. And so maybe that plays into it, too. Who knows?
I saw that Tua Tagovailoa got through the physical and won't start the year on the PUP list. Does this mean anything to you and how you feel the Dolphins will handle him this season?
Well, it means that it doesn't seem like he's going to be overly restricted. I think they're going to be very careful. I think there's no reason to rush him. Again, there's been so much time missed during the pandemic, no OTAs, limited training camp practices, no preseason games, that they're not just going to stick him out there. They're going to be smart about the way they handle him. But from a physical standpoint, it sounds like he's further along than people thought he would be. That doesn't mean the Dolphins are all of a sudden going to ramp up their schedule and put the foot to the accelerator and say, Tua, you're starting opening day, we're throwing you out there. But it does mean that he's physically capable of doing these things, and I'm sure they will work him in at a reasonably paced, cautious schedule.
Senior NFL insider from ESPN, Adam Schefter, joins us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. And, you know, Adam, a lot has been documented now with some of the NBA bubble stuff, NHL bubble stuff. You saw what happened with the Marlins, obviously, and some of the spread. And the NFL has, you know, outlined some, you know, very punitive measures that could be taken if players are reckless. How, with what they do once they leave, yeah, you know, the facility, how strict do you think they're going to be? And is this going to be like a major focal point, you think, for the NFL, you know, organizations trying to monitor this?
Well, it's a tough thing to enforce, right? If there's a player who wants to fly in a woman from another city, and by the way, I know this has actually gone on in recent days.
Wait, hold up, Adam. You're telling me that NFL players have girlfriends they might fly in from somewhere else?
Yeah, or, yeah, women that they know,
breaking
whoever
it
may be. Okay, and the thing, you know, when I heard about one guy, like, doing this, I said to myself, you know, what's the guy doing? You know, and I was talking to somebody about it, and you know, they said, you know, this is what the guy does. And I said, doesn't he understand we're living in a pandemic? You know, and so I don't know what to say to you other than this is a season that's going to be unlike any other. This is a season that's going to require unmatched and unprecedented discipline. This is a season in which I think the teams that are the smartest and the safest will make the best and most responsible decisions, and they will have to be willing to forego flying in women, going to the movies, sitting in a bar, a crowded bar, going to the club, whatever. I don't mean to sound like an old 53-year-old man that I am.
Happily married man, too.
Exactly. I don't mean to sound like that, but the fact of the matter is, everybody is going to have to make sacrifices if they want it to work. And I think they're going to be smart, mature, responsible players, a lot of veterans, some younger players. But it's going to be hard. You know, I think it's, you know, I had a GM tell me this during the offseason. He's like, can you imagine the tension that could exist in a meeting room if, hypothetically, let's just say there's a veteran guy, married, kids, doing the right thing. And Bobby, you know this. Like, you've been in these meeting rooms, and you know that one of your teammates who plays your position was out all night at the club with someone, whatever it is, and now you got to be sequestered in a meeting room with that guy. And now who knows what he's bringing into that room, and he's putting everybody, you, your family, in jeopardy, your salary. Like, that's going to create some tension in that room, don't you think?
Oh, Adam, I'll tell you this. It created tension in the room when the guy's coming in smelling like a bottle and had glitter on him when you're just trying to win games and you're in the middle of a playoff hunt. Now you factor in real life, like, and you said, like, loss of a season or potentially transmission, all these things. Like, it is going to be incredibly volatile if that stuff starts to occur. And that's why I think the self-policing on veteran teams is going to be very high.
And I also believe that coaches, when they talk to their teams, I mean, coaches have similar messages, like, do your job. You know, we're going to focus on winning that turnover battle. We can't make mistakes. Honestly, the top of the list is be responsible, be courteous, look out for your teammate, look out for your coaches, look out for everybody, and don't do anything stupid.
Adam, let's talk about the opt-out situation. We had a little bit of a wave here recently, and I think that we're up to maybe, I don't know, you probably have the number of how many that have opted out. Over 20, I imagine, at this point. Maybe.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, and so give us kind of your feeling on what the league is going to do here with the CBA on guys opting out and how binding it is and irrevocable it is, and could they opt out at a later time? What's the deadline here they're looking at?
Yeah, well, a few things. First of all, they have a week to do it from the time that new plan is signed. My understanding is it's going to be like August 3rd or August 4th. Players have to opt out. It is irrevocable. You cannot change your mind. Once you opt out, you're out. You can't get back in. That'll be the deadline. My understanding is that there are certain extenuating circumstances. If there's, unfortunately, knock on wood, the death of a family member, or something like that, a player could opt out later on, but it would take something extreme like that that hopefully doesn't even occur at any point during the season. I think that we've already been surprised by the number of opt-outs. I think we're going to get more opt-outs by the time the deadline strikes. I also wonder if other players who even thought about it see these other guys and say, ooh, well, maybe I should be thinking about this, or maybe that swings the decision one way or another for a player who's been on the fence. So I think the fact that it's out there, it's going on, could wind up influencing other players. We'll see. But I already think it's been more widespread and a higher number of players than I think the league expected at this point.
No, you're not wrong. And Adam, before we let you go here, anything to New England leading the league with opt-outs? I mean, Marcus Cannon, obviously, serious issue, health issue there. But yeah, other than that, I mean, a lot of personal decisions and some family choices. But yeah, it probably was surprising to see that that was the number one team.
Well, I think this, Bobby. I think, you know, you play football for money, you play it for fame, you pay it for rings, you play it for all this. And I think a lot of the people who have been in New England, they've done those things, right? Like they've made money, they've won rings, they've gotten – so, I mean, that makes the decision a little bit easier. I still think it's ultimately, first and foremost, a personal decision. And it comes down to your belief and your feelings. And this is a disease that has afflicted primarily elderly people, minorities. And I think that there are people who've opted out who have seen this disease up close, have had a firsthand experience, have had a family member or friend get sick, had a family member or friend pass away. And I think it scares them. And also, you know, as someone who's married to a type 1 diabetic, I think, you know, your spouses and your families are a big part of this, right? If they're uncomfortable and they're putting pressure on you, then it also enters into your thought process and factors into the final decision. And so if we look at the Patriots, Donta Hightower, mother is type 2 diabetic, just became a dad mid-July, has made money, has won 3 rings. Okay, like, there you go. There's the recipe, right? Right there. Mm-hmm. Patrick Chung, similar kind of story, about to become a dad, has won rings, has made money. There we go. Brandon Bolden, same kind of thing. Marcus Cannon, same kind of thing. Now, there are a couple of other guys, you know, Fringe, that's their decision. You can never fault anybody for their thoughts during a pandemic. So I just think that that's the way it has shaken out so far. I don't think we're done with opt-outs, hearing them across the league, and it'll be interesting to see what other players decide to go that route.
Good stuff, Shefty. Thanks for jumping on with us this week, bud. Continue to be well,
thanks,
and we'll talk to you next week.
And likewise, be safe, and God, I hope Ohio State has a lot of money coming in with all the money that they've produced for around the league.
They're hurting, so you're right. Those guys need to pay their freight, man. I mean, look where it got them, that's for sure.
Yep.
Pay it forward, baby.
The
value pay
of
it
Ohio
forward.
State education. Nothing like the value of Ohio State education.
Thanks, Shefty.
Thanks,
done.
Guys.
He's on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.